Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Voltas Limited Q3 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Shivram from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, all. Thank you, Inba. We have with us the management of Voltas, represented by Mr. Anil George, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manish Desai, Head Corporate Finance, and Vaibhav Vora, Manager Corporate Finance. We'll have the initial remarks and the overview by the management, followed by a Q&A. Over to you, sir, for the opening remarks.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. I will just give a brief note on the analysis of results for the quarter and nine-month ended 31st December 2020. The quarter gone by has been rather eventful with multiple developments. North American markets cheered the results of the U.S. elections and patiently watched the twists and turns that followed thereafter. In Europe, lengthy negotiations between the EU and Britain were finally concluded, and Brexit became a reality. In the Middle East, the U.S. successfully brokered a deal between key regional players, easing political tension and paving the path for normalized relations. On the pandemic side, total reported cases of COVID was in excess of 82 million by 31st December, and the world heaved a sigh of relief as news of viable vaccines trickled in. Meanwhile, a 3.5% GDP degrowth was predicted across the globe in calendar year 2020, with the exception of China, which registered positive growth of around 2.3%. Looking forward at year 2021, the IMF has projected reasonably cheerful rebound growth numbers of 5.5% for the world in aggregate. More interestingly, India led the pack with a double-digit growth of 11.5%, overshadowing China, which is projected to grow by 8.1%. Back home, the Indian government anticipates a degrowth of 7.5% for FY21, but forecasts a V-shaped recovery and a growth of around 10.5% in FY22. The said forecast resonates well with general business and consumer confidence indicators. Manufacturing and service PMI have picked up. GST collections are at an all-time high, crossing rupees 1 lakh crores for the fourth month in succession. Auto sales have achieved double-digit growth, and job markets are showing signs of steady recovery. Optimism is also evident across equity markets, supported as they are by significant FII inflows and a growing number of retail participants. In this overall context, Q3 witnessed a healthy upswing in the growth of the business. Sales across all the three segments have improved as compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year. At the same time, substantial increase in commodity prices such as copper, aluminum, steel, plastic, and oil, and sea freight was a cause of worry. On the exchange front, the USD remained largely range-bound. Consolidated total income of the company grew by 32% to 2,046 crores in Q3. YTD degrowth, although reduced by around 11%, unfortunately remains given the lingering consequence of a locked-out Q1. Profit before tax was higher by 39% at rupees 166 crores as compared to rupees 119 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. Profit after tax was similarly higher by 46% at rupees 129 crores versus rupees 88 crores of the previous year. Earnings per share, face value per share being rupee 1 and not annualized, as at 31st December 2020, was at 3.87, better than the figure of the 2.63 registered last year. The corporate balance sheet continues to remain healthy with minimal borrowings, which are required mostly for our overseas operations. While operational cash flow during the first 9 months of the year have been relatively weak, given the context of the lockdown and the AC sales lost out during high season, adequate availability of cash on our balance sheet is a definite strength in these difficult times. A snapshot of our results for this quarter has been presented, and there you can see that the total income from operations has improved from 1487 to 1970 crores, and the profit before tax in total has gone up from 119 crores to 166 crores. Let me now comment upon the individual segments. Segment A, unitary cooling products. Record sales of rupees 833 crores in the unitary cooling segment, representing a 40% increase over the corresponding non-COVID quarter of the previous year, is indicative of the considerable brand pull and traction enjoyed by Voltas. Aided by pent-up demand, channel partners were also keen to secure their share of inventory amidst years of supply chain disruptions and price escalations. Top-line growth apart, divisional bottom line has accelerated even further by 72%. This is the conscious result of driving better product mix amidst cost efficiencies coupled with lower holding cost of carry-forward inventories. Appropriate focus on the inverter subcategory with competitive pricing and larger number of SKUs has yielded a favorable outcome. Inverter growth was 75% ahead of the previous year and now contributes over 60% of all AC sold, compared to the 49% for the similar period in the previous year. That apart, Voltas has also achieved leadership position in the inverter category with an exit market share of 21.8% as of December 2020. In terms of the overall AC market, we continue to retain our undisputed leadership with a YTD market share of 26% at multi-brand outlets. As concerns on global warming from increased energy consumption grow, protecting and preserving our environment continues to form a prominent part of Voltas' commitment to sustainability. We are happy to report that Voltas has won the prestigious National Energy Conservation Award, outperforming other brands in fixed speed and variable speed AC categories. It may be noted that Voltas has won the National Energy Conservation Award for the fourth time over the past 7 years. Indeed, a testimony to our leadership in technology as well. The commercial refrigerator segment has delivered a stellar performance in Q3 by registering 101% growth in volume. Stronger emphasis on building relationships with B2B partners, combined with channel expansion and revival of demand from some OEMs, has yielded good results. At the last conference, we had commented upon the substantial buildup of air cooler inventory with the trade, owing to the lockdown which had disrupted the very limited seasonal window available for its sale. Despite this industry constraint, the performance of the air cooler vertical was satisfactory, with a growth of 11% over the previous year. Increased number of variants and SKUs, together with appropriate trade schemes, has helped secure a wider distribution footprint across the sub-dealer network. Based on November 2020 exit numbers, we are now at the number two position, having achieved a market share of 13.2%. Looking ahead and in the broader context of the commodity price increase, changes in custom duty rates and enhanced supply chain costs, the business has taken a 5-6% price increase across all UCP categories. This, along with accelerated efforts to sensibly limit imports and maximize local sourcing, is expected to provide appropriate forward protection for our margins. Allow me to move on to segment B, electromechanical projects and services. Segment revenue for the quarter increased to ₹1,017 crores as compared to the corresponding quarter of ₹808 crores, increase being largely across international operations. Segment result was albeit lower at ₹32 crores, reflecting a conservative margin recognition policy amidst liquidity stress resulting in delayed collection against the receivables. Carry forward order book of the segment stood higher at 7,275 crores as compared to the 7,024 crores last year. Over ₹700 crores of fresh orders were added across both domestic and international markets, helping provide suitable revenue visibility in the periods ahead. The carry forward order book for domestic projects at ₹4,794 crores contained a bouquet of orders across water, HVAC, rural electrification, and urban infra activities. The international order book of ₹2,481 crores represents MEP work mainly across UAE, Qatar, and Oman. Progress across newer projects in the Middle East has improved given the availability of labor and better access to project sites post-initiation of the mass vaccination program. However, some of the older projects continue to be delayed, resulting in cost overruns from extended physical presence at site and cost provisions to cover completion stroke defect liability periods. At the same time, payments are often delayed, triggering time-based ECL provisions. Meanwhile, the steady increase in oil price and the lifting of trade barriers with Qatar should improve business sentiment and open up further opportunities in the Middle East. As always, we will continue to follow a selective, come cautious approach while bidding for fresh orders. Adding to our technical come execution credentials, Voltas was recently recognized as the MEP Contractor of the Year, together with our COEX project being recognized as the MEP project for the year 2020. On the domestic front, inquiries particularly for infrastructure projects, including metros, electricals, water treatment, etc., have picked up. The allocation of ₹5.5 lakh crores in the recently unveiled union budget is also widely expected to help revive investments with resultant infrastructure construction activity. In addition, there is an increasing demand for solutions in the indoor air quality space, including UVGI products, automated duct cleaning, filtration, etc. Finding opportunities for renewal amidst the stress and trauma of COVID-19, the company has initiated various process improvements, cost control measures, and restructuring activities which will augur well for the future of the business. In tandem, we continue to focus on collection of outstanding, securing favorable commercial settlements, and proactively limiting our financial exposure to minimum possible levels. Segment C, engineering products and services. Segment revenue and results for the quarter were at ₹121 crores and ₹32 crores, registering growth in excess of 40% as compared to the previous year's performance. The Mozambique operation, Vale, has remained largely unaffected and continues to contribute handsomely to the performance of the mining and construction vertical. At the same time, the push by the Government of India on infra projects have re-energized the demand for crushing and screening equipment, although the announcement opening up commercial mining is yet to manifest its desired potential. While capital expenditure on textile machinery remains low, the business is partly compensated the shortfall by directing its attention to the after-sales business in both the spinning and post-spinning segments. Pronouncements in the recent budget have been helpful to the textile business in general, and there is a degree of muted optimism on the fortunes of the industry over the periods ahead. A brief comment on Voltas Beko. The factory at Sanand has completed its first year of operation. Despite various disruptions and multiple limitations on production and supply chain caused by the COVID pandemic, the factory successfully produced over 210,000 units of high-quality DC refrigerators in its first year. The product has been very well accepted in the market, and we are happy to evidence significant demand pull from the trade. While the current emphasis is therefore on maximizing production to meet the increasing demand for DC refrigerators, plans have been made to begin manufacture of frost-free refrigerators over the coming months, followed by top-load, fully automatic washing machine and dishwashers. In introducing differentiated India customer relevant products into the market, we continue to derive considerable strength from the technical prowess of our joint venture partner, Arçelik. In terms of distribution, billing points have been scaled up to exceed 1,000 numbers. Accelerated introduction of exclusive outlets and experience zones, along with cost-effective digital marketing, should help in increasing reach and augmenting the brand awareness. As of date, both Voltas and Voltpec have a joint presence in 195 EBOs, up from around 90 in the previous year. Meanwhile, distribution and other synergies with Voltas continue to be aggressively leveraged. Costs are well in line with the budget, and the business is confident of meeting its targets, including that of the 10% market share by year 2024-25. Other matters and outlook. The company had earlier notified an in-principle proposal to internally restructure and segregate its B2C and B2B businesses in separate entities so as to drive independent focus and facilitate their respective growths. Subject to various approvals, the thought was to transfer the B2B businesses to an existing 100% wholly owned subsidiary, RIL, which was to be suitably renamed. At its recent meeting, the board has now formally approved the transfer of its domestic project business relating to MEP, HVAC and water projects, MNC business and TMD to its wholly owned subsidiary Universal MEP Projects and Engineering Services Limited, which is formerly known as RIEL or Rohini Industrial Electricals Limited, by a slump sale through a business transfer agreement to be executed by 31st March 2021. The transaction is expected to be completed by September 2021, and the purchase consideration is estimated to be in the region of 1,000 to 1,200 crores. Looking ahead at Q4, which marks the beginning of the high season for AC sales, we remain cautiously optimistic. In general, a pickup in the pace of activity can be reasonably expected over the coming quarters, and we expect to maintain our growth and momentum. I will now open the floor and hand over the floor back to ICICI.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you're requested to limit your questions to two per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congrats on a good
set. Awesome, Ravi.
My first question is with respect to the PLI scheme, would Voltas be interested in applying for the PLI scheme? What are the benefits we are likely to see, and would we be looking at exports from the PLI scheme?
While the scheme has been announced in general, and we know that it will be on an incremental basis on CapEx and increase in revenue, the contours are yet to be fully known. We don't estimate a very sizable kind of, inflow from the PLI scheme as of the moment, but only time will tell after the T's have been crossed and the I's have been dotted and we read the fine print. But whatever is possible, because we are going to be making in India and we will be expanding our own manufacturing, so we expect to take and gain advantage from the PLI scheme. But I would be hesitant to say that it is a very big, substantial chunk of money that's waiting as, performance link incentive that will be paid over to the companies concerned.
Got it, sir. Got it. And my second question is with respect to the product price increase that we have taken, close to 5 to 6%. Given the fact that the copper prices, etc., have continued to rise in the month of January, are we looking at further price increases, and the existing price increase, is it sufficient enough to cover the cost?
At the moment, each company has its own unique situation, and that unique situation is defined by supply chain, the level of inventory that you are already holding, the contracts that you have taken going forward, etc., etc., you know it all. At this point of time, based on what we have seen and what our estimations are, we believe that 5 to 6% will be sufficient. However, looking at the future, we do not really know how the commodity prices will react, what further things might happen, etc. At any rate, our promise to the market has always been that we will continue to grow our market share, but at the same time, we will do it sensibly without actually losing too much on the margin front. The good news is that we have sufficient margin, so if need be, we can always do something and still recover later. But in an ideal situation, we try to balance it in such a way that we are able to continue the accretion of margin and at the same time be able to grow our market. So time will tell, but at the moment we have taken about 5 to 6%. If more price increases are required, we will do that. And as a market leader, we certainly are expected to do that also in an overall context.
Thanks a lot, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you, Ravi.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Venugopal Gare from Bernstein. Please go ahead. Mr. Venugopal Gare, could you please unmute your phone and go ahead with your question? There seems to be no response from this line. We'll move to our next question. That's from the line of Siddhartha Beda from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a great set of results. Sir, my first question is again on this PLI benefit. So on the export side, do you think there is a reasonable opportunity for us to go and sell products if there is incentive from the government which we can look to address? And because a lot of our peers are looking to doing that with new factories and all. So do you think that can be a big opportunity for us?
Siddharth, Manish over here. So in terms of the export, yes, the potential is very good, but you remember very well, and we keep saying that the technical specs across different countries in the world are different. Furthermore, the home production itself, if I look from the demand perspective, we are so much in an under-penetrated kind of state whereby the opportunity in the domestic market is quite. Having said that, even government has realized that it is not like a mobile kind of PLI scheme which they have to link incrementally to the exports revenue. Because here the first challenge for the government is to have a setup of the eco chain in a country as far as the components are concerned, where the dependence for the entire industry is quite high, followed by make available the entire units at a competitive rate to the domestic market. So we are seeing that the PLI scheme will have some reference to the export, but it will not mirror the way in which they have put the mobile and other PLI scheme which the government has announced. In terms of the potential is concerned, we are having a focus and we keep doing drawing to the other countries to carry out the exports. We have seen good amount of revenue flowing in the 2021, and we'll keep our eyes and ears close to the market and definitely meet the requirements of the countries or this place where we can do export.
Understood, sir. Second is on Voltas Beko. If you can throw some light on, you highlighted that we have increased the billing points and also some more color on how the production is shaping up. I think it was about 35,000 Q2. So how it is shaping up and how is the presence across channels, how is it improved and not? So some color will help a lot.
As I said, you know, at this particular point of time, our main, it's a good problem to have. And that good problem is that we are not able to manufacture as much as we could possibly sell. So we are consciously, we have slowed down the kind, the expansion. So we, in theory, you could say that we could touch all and more of the outlets that are selling Voltas products. But the truth is that we don't have sufficient product available, especially in DC refrigerators or imported items, to be able to meet all of that demand. So we, our focus is on increasing the production. The focus is making sure that the touch points that we have gotten to, which is roughly about 6,000 and 1,000 billing points, those are sufficiently well serviced. The product quality has been very well accepted, and I would say that this factory has settled down extremely well. And as I said in my earlier comments, we really have a lot to thank our partners who bring in excellent quality of technology and research and development and help us with customizing the product to Indian needs. So our DC refrigerator has lots of other things that you might not really find in the run-of-the-mill DC refrigerator. And that would be our positioning as we go forward. In terms of pricing, etc., we have taken a similar kind of pricing that has that we have taken in the across the products for AC products, and I think you will wait and see that this is really building for the future, and internally we are very hopeful about what Voltas Beko holds for us.
Okay, sir. Understood. I'll come back in that case. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot. So just one question to better understand, you know, this sale of AAP business to 100% owned firm. The press release mentions domestic MEP business is being sold. So any kind of color on the international MEP business, will it also be part of this transaction or will it continue to remain as it is, and can you throw some light on that aspect as well?
Atul, in fact, we lost your voice in between.
So my question was on the domestic versus international, you know, B2B businesses. So this really seems to suggest that only domestic B2B businesses are being housed in this 100% owned subsidiary. So what about international B2B businesses?
You are absolutely right. It is only the domestic businesses that are being housed in the wholly owned subsidiary. International businesses continue to remain in Voltas, main company, but till we are able to, you know, see how best to integrate it. In India, actually, the focus, it gets a little diverted, as we had mentioned, because we are running after B2B, we are running after B2C. The purpose of doing this is to ensure that both these B2C and the B2B businesses are able to flourish and grow with appropriate management attention coming to them specifically. And in this transfer also, I must mention that in the domestic businesses, we have moved it into a wholly owned subsidiary, already existing wholly owned subsidiary called Rohini, where the electrical businesses are already housed. So so when you talk about domestic businesses, electrical businesses are not getting moved in. Also, what as we look at it, we are moving in the textile machinery business and the mining and construction, which are also B2B compliant into this. So the local businesses are what are being housed here.
So sir, just you know, another follow-up on that one. So why not move even international B2B businesses to a subsidiary and have the standalone on the main company?
It is something that could happen, but we want to take it in stages. We are not, because there are lots of other things, and because in the international, there are many JVs that we operate through also because of the basic need. So there are other kind of complications which we'll have to work our way through. Ideally, what you're saying is absolutely right, and this is what we will be focusing on and working towards over a longer period of time.
Okay, and so my final one is on the outlook for the UCP segment. You know, how is the demand panning out currently? Any color on the market situation and the pre-filling of channel for this summer season?
As I mentioned, we have had good sales in quarter three, mainly because there was also an element of pent-up demand and an element of, people really being apprehensive about the price increase that would be coming around the corner. So we have had a good quarter in Q3, and many of the industry have done reasonably well. Although, you know, we seem to have in the AC segment, we have far outdone other people. When you look at the quarter four is generally a good quarter as the weather starts striking in, and you also have the heat-based sales that will take place. So far, we have been doing all right, but I don't want to be forecasting and I don't give forward guidance on what it is. But suffice it to say that whatever happens in the industry, we will be ahead of our competition in the growth that we see. And okay, we are really hoping that, right now I think we can see a lot of the COVID concerns and constraints, you know, starting to diminish I believe that, you know, as we look into both quarter four as well as quarter one of next year, with the weather giving its normal bit of assistance, will be reasonably okay and good.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Chirag Shah from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just going back on the restructuring point, just wanted to understand how will the cash consideration to be paid by the subsidiary be funded?
Yeah, there are various ways that it can be done, but ideally, Rohini or stroke Universal is a separate company, and it has its own equity, it has its own capital. There's nothing stopping them from issuing shares and right shares, and which can be subscribed to. So it's not, it should not cause so much of a problem.
Got it. But at any point in time, would we be considering separately listing Rohini?
No, not. There are no problems at this particular, there are no thoughts on that at this point of time, because it's a wholly owned subsidiary and we wish to keep the business with us. And the only thing that we are doing right now is to move it into a separate subsidiary where we will be able to get full attention for the B2B business.
Understand. And just lastly, on the gross margin pressure that we saw this quarter, can you just explain a bit around which segments saw the gross margin pressure? Of course, commodity prices have increased, but just the color on which segments were impacted the most?
Various commodities have gone up in significant numbers, and I think that I would really say that on an average, if one were to look at, let us say, take for example something like copper per ton, in March 2020 it was roughly about 5,180 USD per ton, which has now moved in December 20, end of December, moved to something like 7,750. Similarly, steel, which was at around $551 per ton, moved to something like about $880 per ton by December 20. So, similarly, lots of things have gone up. Now, we had an advantage, and I think most of the industry also had the advantage, because the inventory procured at the earlier cost continued because Q1 sales did not take place the way that anyone that we wanted it to. It was a washout Q1 completely. So that inventory remained and gave us advantage. At the same time, given the COVID situation, there were savings in marketing expenditure. There was other kind of synergies that were exploited. And all told, we were able to not only keep the margin, we were actually able to improve the margin. Going ahead, the situation can be slightly different, because as new inventory comes in at new prices, what happens is that you will have a problem on the margin if you don't take care of it. And that is why we have proactively led the market and taken the price increase of 5 to 6%. As I mentioned earlier, for us, market share is not something that you can put into the bank. It is the profit generated out of margins by selling your products that you can put into the bank. So we will consciously and all the time balance market share vis-a-vis margins, and that's how we have been doing it. And if anything is an indication, please look at our record over the past 8 years, and you would see that margins have always been maintained at sensible levels along with the growth in the market share.
Perfect. That's super helpful. And just one last question on the Voltas Beko JV. You mentioned our aspirational target of getting to a 10% market share by FY25. Any thoughts on when the JV would achieve EBITDA break-even from that perspective?
It coincides mostly with this, but I don't want to get into specifics of that. One of the things that you should notice is that we are well within our budgets as of date. And you just need to look at the item where in the balance sheet, which talks about the profit and loss of share of JVs, and you will see that the number is very similar to what we had in the previous year, which indicates that the Voltas Beko is, while it's grabbing market share, and incidentally it's got something like close to a 2% market share in frost-free washing machines, etc., and a 0.7% market share in DC refrigerators, which have just launched about eight months back. So it's good going, is what I would say.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sreyash Bukhanwala from Canara Robic and Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just two questions. One is slightly on the longer term related to capital allocation. So post the restructuring, our UCD basically on the standalone would have a good amount of cash on books post once the transaction is done. So any initial thoughts on how do we plan to deploy the same?
There are a number of investment opportunities, particularly in and around surrounding the Make in India. It is very clear now that on a longer term basis, we cannot continue to import. So we will have to look at manufacturing more aggressively in India itself. And that kind of manufacturing may extend itself to compressors, to motors, to various other things, depending on what we really feel cannot be economically and profitably sustained over a period of time. So that is the context in which we are looking at the at land, and which is just almost done in South India, where we will be starting manufacture. At the same time, we will be tying up with other people to ensure that there is a neat and clean supply chain availability for the input items to support the growth of our air conditioning and the refrigerator industry.
Sure. And secondly, sir, on the EMP side, so on the profitability front, as you did mention that there has been ECL provisions which were there because of the delayed payment. But lower margins, was it also attributable to the projects not crossing the threshold limit since we had got majority of the products in last year, second half?
Very good question, and from the way that you've asked your question, I can glean that you understand projects very well. Yes, in certain cases, when you take projects, till the projects cross the 20% threshold limit, and this is relevant for necessary, especially for the new projects, we do not record margins. So you might have a case where the turnover comes in, but the margins are not accretive.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from my end.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just continuing with the NEP question, any guidance, sir, you should look at it? I understand what you explained from an accounting perspective, but any guidance or direction you should look in the NEP margin going forward?
I would actually not want to guide, but over a period of time, our ambition really is to be able to work out our margins to at least 6-7%. That's what we want to do, and I'm sure that that will happen also over a period of time, given the fact that we are now very careful in the kind of projects that we take in, and we are being, for example, in the projects that we have taken in India, all of them have got some kind of back-to-back financing with either the World Bank or JICA or some other external agency, by which we make sure that these infrastructure projects, we will be able to get paid. We do not do business with large private players, because in projects, profit is made when the cash is received and not by writing it into books. So I believe that over a period of time, we will be able to work this forward, particularly in given the COVID situation. We have had some problems in the Middle East, where it's only now that oil prices have started picking up. But earlier on, there were problems in the oil prices pricing also. And as a consequence, many of the clients were actually holding back payments and not certifying our bills. So these are transitionary issues, which I think will get sorted out. And also, I would say that as and when we are able to collect against some of these ECL provisions, it is a straight drop down into the bottom line.
But is it right to conclude that none of the projects, whether it's Middle East and India, are in a very bad shape in terms of execution? I understand the cash flow mismatch can happen and eventually can improve.
Let me be honest with you on that. If I were doing 20 projects, I don't think any project company in the world can really say that all the 20 projects are performing superbly well or well, are earning margins much ahead of what they had budgeted, and none of them is in loss. In the project business, some projects go into loss, some projects go into profit, some go into horrendously attractive profits. The average of all these things is what you see in the number as a return on the segment B. And that is how we manage it. And, it is very difficult to have, and it's not like a product business where you sell a particular AC and you know very clearly that, look, a margin of X% in terms of gross margin has come in. Projects don't operate that way. So, but that's the reality of the matter. But also, with all these investments, with all the things that are happening in the environment, and infrastructure being such a key prerequisite for development today, I think that, if you manage it, maybe even conservatively but sensibly, projects have a good future in terms of, being able to add both to the revenue as well as to the bottom line.
Thank you very much, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Gopal from SBI Life. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
What we have been witnessing in the last couple of months that on the import side there has been, you know, increases in the freights and few industries are facing issues in terms of component import. So if you can just help us understand, you know, we are also facing the similar issue. Is our industry, are there any critical components which are, you know, undersupplied and could be a potential risk for the industry and for us?
So Gopal, what is happening is, as you are aware, that the entire industry as such is depending on the imports of certain critical components for the air conditioner. The components like compressor, controllers and others, we do not have a supply eco chain in India. So we, all industry as such, are depending upon outside India. Now, having said that, we all know the Atmanirbhar approach and other initiatives taken by the government, and the pandemic situations led the entire trade volume been reduced. We have seen such kind of import freights particularly has shoot up like anything. I am sure that when you heard about the others, it has gone up by at least 3 or 4 times more than what otherwise should have been. Similarly, in terms of the disruption from the Chinese side or from the other countries where the manufacturers are depending upon the components, they did also face the labor and other kind of capacity constraints. So in and all, the prices have suddenly gone up, and that was the reason why Mr. George a few minutes back has said, proactively we have taken a call in order to increase our margin or increase in the price so as to protect our margin. But in and all, the situation is, I can say, because of the carry forward inventory what the manufacturers were carrying along with them, we may not see a disrupted situation what we have seen a couple of years back, whereby we had the situation of not fulfilling the demand from the customer when the season was on the side of picking up. So that's what we have to say right now. We have to see, we have to wait and watch how the thing gets set up. But in terms of the requirement, currently we say we have been adequately stocked in terms of seasonal requirement which we are seeing in the quarter four and thereafter 21-22.
Is situation improving month on month or it is same?
It is improving, but it is remaining really volatile in a way that Now you know very well Chinese have gone into a lunar year. So all the shipments got booked from their end when the shipment is about to sail from their port. So in a way we are seeing, now this month we are not seeing any much kind of disruption because you can see the visibility of what ships are, what the material is moving from there. But let's open the again Chinese from that side and we can see, we have to estimate that the things gets normalized because situations are improving month on month compared to what we have seen in quarter two.
Okay. The second question which I had was on the PLI, the initial input which we have got from the government is that, you know, they are expecting additional revenue of 170,000 crore over next 5 years and some 8,000 crore of investment for AC and LED. We don't have the breakup between the AC and LED, but whatever your assessment is on this and how practical these are, because if we understand it right, the AC industry currently in India, it is in the range of 12 to 13,000 crore. So in such kind of base, how practical these targets are?
So Gopal, if I recollect properly, ministry did give a separate allocation for the air conditioner. And to my best reading, it was somewhere around 6,500 crores over a period of 5 years. So if I look from the industry market or the industry size today, it is roughly around 18,000 crores or so, leaving aside some kind of degrowth what you've seen in the current year, which is an exceptional basis of the pandemic situation. So if I look from the 18,000 crores market and if I look for a 6,500 crores of PLI scheme over 5 years, you can reasonably estimate that volume is achievable. However, we need to see how the contours of the transitions or the scheme is getting worked out. Because what the government and what the industrial are pushing for it is on development of the component ecosystem in India, because that is missing quite. Definitely, it will be there on the complete unit as well. But it has to be balanced out between the components and the complete unit. But in and all, it will be a mix of incremental capex and the revenue which company is going to generate from the cutoff year. And we are expecting that the government will come out the announcement soon by 1st April 2021. That would be heard from the last from them, because they have to have a cutoff year of 21 to start executing this PLI scheme going forward.
6,500 is capex or incentive?
Total incentive. That's what we heard. I have to reconfirm the numbers, but that has been come out very clearly and part of the PLI breakup. 6,500 or 6,800 something, but it's certainly less than 7,000 crores.
Okay. And the last question which I had was on the demerger scheme. So we are indicating like 1,000 crore kind of revenue on the project, 1,000 crore kind of project revenue for last financial year. Whereas if I see on the standalone side, the revenues of the project business is 2,800 crore last year. Am I missing something?
Firstly, I think if you read the fine print, as I mentioned, the electrical part of the business is already resident in the wholly owned subsidiary. So there is no transferring anything from Voltas into RIEL. The second part of it is that, you know, there are a number of projects that are being done in Voltas and which we will not be transferring at all to RIL, which are near finishing, etc. We are not going to be running into, you know, assigning all those contracts, etc., etc. So there are now a lot of these adjustments that need to take place. So you cannot just look at it in the future. Yes, if you look at the year 2020, FY22, our intention is certainly to take new projects only in Universal / RIL, formerly known as. But as of now, there are so many projects that will end by September 2021. These are not necessarily, we don't want to be shifting a project and going through all the rigmarole of transferring it to the new company just before, you know, they're completed and finished. So there are lots of adjustments. Let me just assure you that this valuation has been done by one of the big four. And has been seen and reviewed appropriately. So there are a lot of these adjustments.
So is it right to assume that from say FY22 onwards, in the Volta standalone, only the UCP revenues will be there?
Not FY22, because by the time these things finish, you know, we will be signing the documents, maybe the BTA documents, because there are lots of things that need to be transferred, understood, legal things that have to be done. 31st March is what we are scheduling. And we are saying that by September 2021, we should be able to effect the full transfer. So thereafter, you're right. So if you really look at maybe FY23, I would say that reasonably confident that, you know, the entire project business would be in Universal and the UCP business will be the one that will be in Voltas.
Okay. So lastly, this standalone business, if I see the project margins for this entire 9 months is negative and even for this quarter it is negative. Any specific provisioning we have done for standalone, I assume it is India where most of the projects are like cost pass through.
There are also the JVs and other things that are mixed up in this. So the standalone by itself loses its significant benefit.
Okay. Fine, sir. Yeah, thanks, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhilasha Satale from the Dalal & Broacha.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. Sir, I just have a couple of questions. I've seen a old Beko loss on quarter basis has increased from 7 crores to 20 crores. So is it only because of the rise in top line or the increased depreciation? What are the factors associated to it?
Largely, ma'am, the old back, if you're looking from the old back results, it remained almost same in the compared to previous quarter, when I say corresponding previous quarter and the current quarter.
Okay. Yeah. But the scale has improved on year-on-year basis.
Very well. We have to create a brand. So the amount of expenditure will go towards brand expenses, marketing expenditure. So even though with the scale in the volume and the revenue,
some amount of loss is expected to carry forward or to continue in this financials. However, we have kept ourselves a target of EBITDA breakeven by 24-25. Our efforts are there to meet those targets along with the market share target of 10%.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you. My other questions are answered. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhruv Jain from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my question. Sir, I have one question with respect to the supply chain that you mentioned that you are wanting to manufacture in India. So, you know, going forward, what is the kind of mix that you would want to maintain for in-house versus ODM? And a question linked to that, in the South facility, what is the kind of backward integration that you are planning? Thank you.
In fact, I could not get your full question, Dhruv. Can you just repeat it because I lost your voice in between?
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Jain, I think you are on a speaker mode. If you can switch it to handset, we'll be able to
hear you. Can you hear me right now?
Yes, thank you.
Sir, so you spoke about, manufacturing in India and Voltas doing extensive manufacturing. So just wanted to know what is the kind of mix that you would want to maintain for in-house versus, say, ODM or OEMs. And also a question linked to that, what is the kind of backward integration that you are planning in your South facility?
Okay. So as far as the backward integration is considered, concerned, Dhruv, we evaluate, in fact, as we discussed in our last conference call as well, component manufacturing as such at a large scale, we are not seeing that we should tap upon it immediately. Having said that, we have the now our own mold for the indoor units. So certainly one backward integration in terms of having the assembly line in the for the indoor units is much feasible, followed by certain components which require to have result into improving our supply chain efficiency will certainly house in the new factory. As far as the mix between the in-house and the outsourcing is concerned, it is continuously evolving. We always remain a capital light. However, we do allocate capital sensibly in order to achieve or in order to ensure that we are always getting the advantage of our supplier base setting up near around. So it is like I can say we cannot say anything the perfect mix kind of in-housing or outsourcing. We'll always look into the maximum advantage which can flow to us, which will not only improve our efficiency in supply chain, but to ensure the quality as well from the suppliers. So I can say, but then extent of manufacturing will certainly be higher in our new plant compared to what we have currently. Some of the components will also find a place in our new factory, which is about to come up in the next 15 to 18 months time frame.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
We reached to a point of 5 p.m., ma'am. So if you remain unanswered, we are open thereafter as well. You can raise with me subsequently. Any other participants?
Sure, sir. I would now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Ranjit Shivram. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, management of Voltas, for answering all the questions, and thank you, participants, for all the insightful questions. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I thank you all for attending the conference. And sir, do you have any closing remarks to make?
Thank you very much. And in case there are any questions that are still lingering in your minds, please do contact Manish Desai or Vaibhav Vora, and we will provide you with the answers. And thank you very much for being with us in this conference. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.